this Auburn Court. Please be seated.
Good morning. This is the matter of Nicholas Ribado versus the Secretary, case number 063264. Are the parties ready to proceed? And who will be representing Mr. Ribado?
Bart Stichman, Your Honor.
And the Secretary?
Brian.
Very well. Mr. Stichman, you have 30 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any time?
Yes, I wish to reserve 7 minutes. Good morning, Your Honors. In this proceeding, Petitioner Nicholas Ribado challenges, under the All Writs Act, the unilateral stay issued at the behest of Secretary Nicholson on all claims pending before the Board of Veterans' Appeals affected by this court's decision last August in Haas, which has since been appealed by the Secretary to the Federal Circuit. The petitioner's demonstration of a clear and indisputable right to the writ is based on this court's decision in Ramsey. In Ramsey, the petitioner challenged the unilateral stay imposed by the Board of Veterans' Appeals on claims affected by this court's decision in Ellis Smith, pending review in the Federal Circuit. In this court's decision in Ramsey, Secretary Nicholson prevailed in part, and he was the losing party in part. Given the nature of Secretary Nicholson's position in this case before the court today, it's important to review this court's holdings in Ramsey. First, the court held, in the absence of statutory or judicial limitations, the Secretary has authority to stay classes of cases before him. Second, the court said it now holds that where the Secretary desires to stay the effect of any decision from this court pending appeal, the proper course is to file in the court that has jurisdiction over the particular case a motion to stay the effect of that case, citing the Federal Circuit's decision in Standard Havens Products, which outlines four factors a court needs to consider in deciding whether to grant a stay pending appeal. Third is a corollary. The court said it holds today that any unilateral imposition of a stay by the board chairman or secretary as to the effect of any of this court's decisions is unlawful. Fourth, the court said we stay our judgment here, however, for 30 days to afford the secretary the opportunity to file a motion for a stay in Ellis Smith in the Federal Circuit, which is the court that currently has jurisdiction. Fifth, on the basis of the foregoing analysis, the court holds that the petitioners have not established a clear right to a writ, and therefore the petition is denied, meaning the court was giving the secretary an opportunity to file and perhaps obtain a stay at the Federal Circuit so that the petitioners had not then established a clear right to a writ, but the court was careful to add that the petitioners could file a petition with the court after the 30-day period based on action by the secretary unreasonably held or unlawfully withheld or unreasonably delayed. Now, Ramsey's holdings require the secretary to take one simple step if he wants a stay pending appeal: to request a stay from the court having jurisdiction and to make the case for a stay under the four factors in Standard Havens Products so that there'd be judicial supervision over the stay process. This step is non-burdensome. It's a step that for decades every circuit in this nation has required federal agencies to take.
Is that a stay of the effect of our case or a stay of the processing of the cases by the Secretary?
It's a stay of the processing of the the Secretary is seeking a stay, has granted a stay of all the board decisions at the claims at the board.
Correct. Correct. The secretary has currently stayed that. You're seeking to have that lifted. But as you discuss Ramsey, would the secretary come up here and request a stay of the precedential effect of our decision, or would he request us to authorize him to stay the processing of his cases?
Well, the case before this court is of the board cases. I'm not sure if you're referring to...
I'm referring to what you're saying is Ramsey, what Ramsey says the secretary should do. What should the secretary do?
Come to this court if it has jurisdiction in a case like Haas and file a motion to stay the cases that are pending at the board that would be affected
What's
by
What's the authority of this court to direct the secretary to stay the processing of his cases as opposed to staying the effect of our case? Do you understand? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do.
And how would that be an aid of our jurisdiction?
It would be an aid in your jurisdiction because under the All Writs Act, this court has jurisdiction over cases that are pending at either the regional offices or the Board of Veterans' Appeals that the court could eventually have jurisdiction over virtue of a final decision.
But if the if the relief requested was to allow the secretary not to adjudicate those cases, how does that help our jurisdiction? If we ordered them to not stay and to adjudicate, that would aid our jurisdiction because the cases would come to us. If we tell them to stop adjudicating cases, it seems to me we're impeding our jurisdiction.
You'd be allowing the secretary to exercise his authority, which the court held in Ramsey the secretary had as a general matter, to stay cases. The court wouldn't be ordering, technically, that these cases be stayed. It would be affirming the secretary's right to do so.
The procedure that you described that is universally accepted in courts of appeals in this country, doesn't that operate a little bit differently, though? Isn't the application that's made under the Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 8 really to stay the effect of a particular case in which an adverse determination has been made in which the party that's adversely affected wants to appeal? Isn't that the way the rule works?
Yes, it does, but it's a stay as to the effect of the party against whom the judgment is entered in acting in the future with regard to whatever the legal matter that was resolved. So typically, a federal agency, it's a challenge to a regulation or a challenge to some type of action that has broad applicability, and it's like Ramsey in the sense that the agency can't continue to operate as it was before with regard to all parties that might be not necessarily in court, but before the agency.
But the stay is not, I don't want to belabor this point to the exclusion of other people here, but the stay, for example, in your pleadings you gave an example of the Niemer case. The stay that the secretary applied for there was in Niemer, not in some unrelated cases floating in the atmosphere that seemed to apply that principle. So I could understand the procedure to say that the secretary in, let's say, Haas, if they don't want to implement Haas, would have to come to some judicial body and say, we don't want to implement Haas, and then various things would flow from that. Now, why I'm trying to see why you don't pursue that, line of logic as opposed to the one that you're apparently pursuing.
I'm pursuing it because it was the holding in Ramsey. This is what this court said.
And you take it that Ramsey is not dicta. You don't accept the secretary's position. I take it that Ramsey holding was dicta.
No, not when the court says it's a holding, it's not dicta. And not when it was the reasoning underlying what the court did with the petition for a writ, allowing this, postponing judgment for 30 days to allow the secretary to follow the court's order, saying the court's order was effective as of the date of its decision, the holding about seeking a stay, and giving the secretary 30 days to do so, and giving the petitioner the right to go back to this court within 30 days if that didn't happen or if action was unreasonably delayed.
And
that's a holding.
Do you see a conflict between Tobler and its discussion in reference to Ithaca that basically indicated that one proper action to take would be to stay cases below, and the discussion in Ramsey that doesn't distinguish that but comes out and says the secretary doesn't have the authority?
It does distinguish it. It talks, the court's decision in Ramsey talks about that very section of Tobler. It said that in Tobler we didn't examine the exact procedures that one needs to go through to get a stay. We just said that it's
if you accept that distinction in Tobler,
yes,
what other jurisdiction has promulgated the same position, that the secretary or that an agency or that a lower tribunal does not have the authority to manage its own cases?
To manage its own cases.
What other jurisdiction says that they can't stay?
Well, it's
are you aware of any?
Maybe it's an analogy or maybe it's exact. I think it's close to being exact. But all these circuit decisions, rules about seeking a stay of a judgment of a federal, against a federal agency that's going to affect other people, I think that's analogous to
That gets to my original question, which is, do they seek a stay of the effect of our decision or do they seek a stay of our processing of the cases? But let me just go on. If the en banc court were to decide that there is a conflict between the rationale of Tobler discussing Ithaca and Ramsey, what is your view of 7107 and its impact on the secretary's authority or the board's authority to stay cases, given that 7107 is fairly specific on when cases can be processed forward and when cases can be held back, given that the secretary has promulgated a regulation that basically follows through on that, and nowhere is there any specified authority for staying cases beyond that authorized in the statute of the regulation?
The court held in Ramsey that there are exceptions to that, and one is by judicial order, which is what the authority the court exercised in Ramsey.
No, I'm suggesting that we have two panel cases we're sitting on bunk. If
yes.
The court were looking at 7107, what is your view of 7107 and the authority of the secretary, not the court, the authority of the secretary or the authority of the board to stay cases beyond that authorized in the statute or regulation?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Is there anywhere in 7107 that you find either authority or prohibition to stay cases as it was done in this case?
That's not a an issue that I focused on. I cannot answer it. I apologize.
Let me ask you this, counsel. If the secretary, in implementing 7107, publishes regulations that cite 7107 as the basis and lay out discrete situations under which cases can be either advanced or delayed at the board, again, citing 7107 as the authority, as the secretary has apparently done in 20.900, is the secretary then bound by that regulation in the exercise of whatever discretion this court previously found, as you've cited in Ramsey, he possessed?
I think you're saying, can the secretary limit himself more than this court has limited himself and stays that he could grant? And I think the answer is yes. He could limit himself further, but he couldn't expand his authority in a way that violates Ramsey. Look, I understand this court is sitting on Bach, but I don't believe this court is sitting on Bach to review the validity of the decision in Ramsey. That is a final decision. This court hasn't asked for briefing on that question, and I think the case before the court today has to assume the validity of Ramsey unless it's going to initiate proceeding to reconsider Ramsey.
Or unless we believe that Ramsey was dicta, as argued by the secretary.
Or unless this court says that when it said holding, it didn't mean it, or
well,
it was wrong.
But I think that the you know, the statement that, you know, the validity of Ramsey, not the validity of Ramsey, the effect of Ramsey and its application is not before the court, given the Secretary's position that Ramsey is dicta and not applicable, I think is, at least in my view, maybe a little strong statement.
I think the Secretary can argue it's dicta, but the plain words of Ramsey show that it's not dicta, and
I understand that argument. I think I was responding to your statement that you didn't believe that the validity of Ramsey, or that whole, as I took it, that holding was something that was sort of game for us to consider.
I think it's game for the court to consider whether it was a holding or dicta. That I think is true.
Counselor, let me ask a question. I'm quoting from Ramsey on page 38 and 39, and it is indeed a holding of the court. The court now holds that where the Secretary desires to stay the effect of any decision from this court pending appeal, the proper course is to file in the court that has jurisdiction over the particular case a motion to stay the effect of that case. And that takes me back to Judge Castle's question. What should the Secretary do or have done in this instance? File a motion to stay the effect of this court's decision?
In Haas. The Secretary acted in Haas on September 21st. He acted to create the stay. At that point in time, the decision had been issued in August. Judgment had already been entered. No appeal had been filed. Jurisdiction was with this court. Under the court's holding in Ramsey, the proper course, instead of unilaterally staying on September 21st, was to file a motion with this court for a stay of the effect of that decision. The effect of that decision, not just on Mr. Haas, but on everybody who had a claim pending at the VA, because under Tobler, the decisions of this court have to be followed by the agency at the regional offices and the Board of Veterans Appeals. And that's what that means, the stay of the effect of that case. It's
but
not
if he had
just
come in,
Mr.
that would, that's the original question I asked. If he had come in and asked for a stay, and we granted it, he could still process the cases, he could still deny them.
Yes.
And then they would be on appeal.
Well, not still deny them. He's asking for a stay not to decide them.
Well, it's different than what I thought you just said.
Well, if the stay had been granted by the court, then Mr. Ribado would not have a need to file a petition. You would understand that the Secretary has followed the holding of Ramsey and has obtained the stay from the court that would, in fact, stay the execution of or the implementation of Smith to other cases.
To Haas.
I'm sorry, to Haas.
You're saying if the Secretary had come to this court and the court granted a stay,
right,
then Ribado would have no case here, because the court would be disposing of exactly the issue Ribado is bringing here, whether his case should go forward and be decided by the board under the existing precedents. Now,
Counselor, that seems like a very simple procedure to me. What is your view of why the Secretary did not do that in this case?
I think that's best asked of the Secretary. But if my reading of his papers is the Secretary thinks this court was wrong to say that its rulings in Ramsey were holdings. Instead, it says it's dicta. The Secretary believes that the reasoning underlying those holdings are wrong as a matter of law. And because Secretary Nicholson believes all this, Secretary Nicholson believes he has the right to disobey this court's final judgment in Ramsey. And the problem with that is it violates a basic longstanding constitutional principle in our land. The Supreme Court has stated, if a party can make himself a judge of the validity of orders which have been issued and by his own act of disobedience set them aside, then are the courts impotent, and what the Constitution now fittingly calls the judicial power of the United States would be a mere mockery. That was said by the Supreme Court in Gompers v. Buck Stove and Range Company 95 years ago, and it's as true today as it was then. Judge Hagel, in his order in this case, after the case was assigned to him, cited the Supreme Court's much later decision in Manus v. Myers, which began with the basic proposition that all orders and judgments of the courts must be complied with promptly. Persons who make private determinations of the law and refuse to obey an order generally risk criminal contempt, even if the order is ultimately ruled incorrect. The Secretary had an opportunity to appeal Ramsey. He did not. He had an opportunity to ask this court to reconsider Ramsey. He did not. The judgment became final, and the Secretary is required to follow the judgments of this court. And Secretary Nicholson has not done that in this case. And that's why the petitioner has a clear and indisputable right to the writ in this case.
Could the Secretary have appealed Ramsey?
Of course.
The writ was, the petition was denied.
The petition was denied without prejudice to refiling. The Secretary was ordered to take certain actions. Mm-hmm. If he believed that he was not obligated to take certain actions, then he should have sought reconsideration or appealed. That's the rule of law.
Did the Secretary take action?
I understand he did not file a motion with the Federal Circuit to do that.
Do you know why?
If I recall what I've read, the Justice Department, which was in control of the case, didn't take the action. And then a subsequent petition was filed in Ramsey. But that's a different case. Ramsey remains a final judgment. Ramsey 2, a separate case, became moot, not Ramsey 1. If the Secretary thought Ramsey 1 was moot or invalid, he could have come before the court to try to get it vacated for some reason. He didn't do so. It's a final judgment of this court, and the Secretary has no valid reason.
Is the en banc court bound by that?
I believe it is. It's a, as I said before, the validity of Ramsey is not before this court en banc. It hasn't set this proceeding up and asked for briefing on the issue whether Ramsey was properly
all
decided.
All discussion in the Ramsey case, the en banc court is bound by.
As opposed to
the holding, the literal holding in the Ramsey case, dismissing the writ.
That I don't believe is the literal holding of the Ramsey case. I think all the holdings that the court said in Ramsey it was making were holdings. And because it's the reasoning underlying how the court got to the final part of the decision, which dismissed without prejudice the petition with orders for the Secretary to take certain action. That's what holdings are. They're the necessary predicates for why the court reached its final disposition.
Do you feel that the language in Tobler that suggested an alternate proceeding for the Secretary to be dicta or to be a holding as well?
Well, I would view it as dicta, and it wasn't precise dicta. It talked about the fact that the Secretary could obtain a stay, but as Ramsey discussed, it didn't talk about the procedure that the Secretary would need to go through. So it was the musings of Judge Farley about what would be appropriate, but it didn't deal with the exact situation that was dealt with in Tobler, and that is whether a decision of the court should be applied by the Secretary in other cases, not whether a stay of proceedings is appropriate.
So even if debatable that it might be a holding, Ramsey is more of a refinement or an addition to it as opposed to in conflict, in your view?
Exactly. And that's what Ramsey says it was doing.
Mr. Dishman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Ripple?